East High.
Hello, podcast fans.
It's Wildcat Minute, where we talk about High School Musical 3, senior year, 1 minute at a time. I'm Condra.
And I am Tyler.
And today we're talking about minute 74 of High School Musical 3, senior year. Minute 74 starts out with Mr. Bolton asking if Troy is serious.
Well, if this is serious.
If this is serious, like this questioning he's doing is serious. And then ends with Troy walking at a camera down the hall.
At the school.
At the school. At night. In a storm.
Wow. So much to talk about. Is this serious, Condra? Is this serious?
Again, it's another question that very much is reminiscent of, like, dating.
Is this a serious relationship?
Yeah.
Is this?
Yeah. Are you just fooling around with this idea?
Yeah, that was a good way of phrasing it. Yeah, and Troy, well, it's interesting because Troy kind of doesn't want to admit to himself that it's serious.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that at no point in the movie has it seemed serious.
Yeah, yeah, it's like annoying that it's like, come on, Troy, you clearly want to be thinking about these things, but you're not giving yourself the permission to.
Well, I guess the trouble with the movie is that the movie is about Troy doubting whether U of A basketball is the path that he wants. And while they mention the Juilliard thing, they never set it up as a dichotomy, as an either or.
Mm-hmm.
And some movies will do this. Some movies will say, hey, I'm not going to, like the main character will say, hey, I'm not going to dedicate my life to this, so I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go explore the world. Think Good Will Hunting with mm-hmm. Will Hunting driving off to go find Minnie Driver. Maybe that's where he's going, but that we don't know if that's where he'll end up. It's just his next destination on the road.
Yeah.
It's unsure. It's a moment of future hope, but not like a definite decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would have, I mean, I guess it's a little bit more cliche to be like, Troy decides that he doesn't want to do U of A basketball and that his life is going to be open to adventure. Like, that's not great, but like, they didn't do the work to say, hey, Troy wants to go do the acting thing, and maybe he didn't make it to Juilliard this year, but he could go to another program and work his way up at a different school or something.
Yeah. For again, it's so last minute. We're in April, probably May, really, and Troy's still making college decisions after the fact, and he's also not, like, it's a Disney Channel movie. Like, we're not expecting some form of happy ending with a resolution. Like, it wouldn't make sense for it to be like Good Will Hunting with this unresolved future possibilities ending. Like, Troy driving into the sunset just doesn't make sense in the context.
Yeah, that seems like more where you would end it with Gabriella driving off to Stanford.
Yeah.
But we already saw that, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, in a very anticlimactic way. Like, it's, this conversation would have made more sense earlier. Like, if...
Yeah.
It just seems
to be timed
wrong.
That's the problem with this movie.
Yeah, the timing just all seems... Like, we know how college timeline works. Like, your deposit's due by April 15th.
My thought is, like, we've been puttering along for 73 minutes, and this is a conversation you could have had in Act 1. The goal of a movie like this is to heighten the tension over time, not draw out the tension. That's just definitionally a lack of suspense. It's what it is.
Yeah. And the stakes, like a misrepresentation of the stakes as well, I think is part of the issue too, is like they're wanting the stakes to be higher than they are, and or they're misrepresenting the stakes in a young person's perspective.
Yeah. So Mike Bolton keeps going with the conversation. It's like, it's the only place we ever talked about. And I wanted Troy to say, it's the only place
you ever talked about. Because honestly, that's what this conversation is like, no, Dad, that was your dream. Which we've had him, he said that before.
I don't
before.
Want your life. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, we're just rehashing the locker room conversation, but about college this time.
Yeah.
I don't, it just,
Well, and the it, basketball or college, it's college with three basketball. Like,
yeah, I want this convert. I like Troy's lash out here. I think it's an effective and quite realistic teen lash out in that he says, "You've raised me to make my own decisions, and this is me doing that."
He specifically says, "I'm not a little kid anymore."
Well, that because, yeah, his dad is like, "We always used to go there. And when you were little, like, you always talked about going there." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm not a little kid anymore. I've changed my mind," which is reasonable for a young adult to do and completely understandable, especially like acts of rebellion. If you've been told your whole life, oh, you're going here, oh, you're going here. And then all of a sudden you get into the situation, you're like, wait, why did I say that? It's super normal for young people.
What the conversation does represent to me is an attempt to have a productive conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But due to, honestly, a legacy of poor communication from people on both sides, difficult conversation that just goes in the wrong direction. Like,
yeah,
we've all had a conversation that started with the best of intentions and then just through nobody's fault went the wrong way. And I think that definitely happened here.
Yeah. And it's just funny that it's happening in a way that we've seen before.
And when he does slam the basketball down, that is an effective, like,
slamming
whoa,
the door.
Okay, hold on to your horses there. Like, and it's obviously an appropriate emotional outburst to, like,
mm-hmm,
slam a basketball down. Like, sometimes the basketball accidentally hits someone in the face or accidentally goes careening into the bushes and then you feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder how many takes it took him to get that perfect bounce.
Sometimes you punch a pillow and that's like, okay, that was like a moment that you needed to do to get your anger out. But sometimes there was a glass nearby and you're like, oh no, that looked way worse.
Yeah. I think any sort of quasi-violent outburst is not ideal. Like, there's definitely different ways you can redirect your emotions that don't risk harm for yourself or others. But for what this is, I think it's reasonable.
Bouncing a ball, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to hurt anyone with that.
Unless Mr. Bolton, like, stuck his face out and got biffed. I think the other thing that cracks me up in this conversation is Mr. Bolton's like, Chad's going to be disappointed if you don't go. And Troy's like, Chad'll get over it. Will you?
Would you?
And I'm just like, oh, snap. Mr. Bolton's guilt tripping goes askance.
Yeah, I mean, that was the, like, objectively manipulative thing that Mr. Yeah. Bolton said in the conversation. And again, not that he was trying to, like, use manipulative techniques, but it's just, like, a way that people communicate that just happens to be
Manipulative
is to bring another person into the conversation.
It's like, why do their opinions
represent
matter?
Themselves.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Also, why do their opinions matter in this conversation?
Well, Troy's best friend's opinion,
I mean,
matters. But Mike Bolton doesn't know what Chad is thinking, and Troy would be a better person to consider.
Also, but, like, even if Chad's opinion is, yeah, it'd be awesome if we were on the same team in college, but I understand you have to go your own way. Like, that's, like, a good best friend with a healthy emotional relationship.
You can go your own way. Go your own way.
Gotta go your own way.
Gotta go my own way. Yeah.
I think Mr. Bolton is using more than just Chad as a manipulative tactic. Like, it's like, oh, let's rehash our past. Like, we always went to the games and you dressed up in the jerseys and, like.
Well, yeah, we've been going to the games since you were a little kid. I mean, I don't blame Mr. Bolton in the sense that he is living, like, he is representing his lived experience and he has, like, built this up in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be frustrating when you built something up in your head to see it go.
For it to not go in the way that your head was expecting it to. Like, your expectations are not met.
As they would say in The Corpse Bride, according to plan.
Indeed. But at the same time,
Troy storms off.
Yeah, Mr. Bolton tries to follow him and continue the conversation, but Troy's not having it. Like, Mr. Bolton shut down the conversation, and Troy's done, which is good for Troy to know healthy boundaries.
I mean, yeah, I mean, storming out of a conversation can not be healthy boundaries. Again, yeah, I don't know. One of those things where people have different opinions.
And then Troy drives to the school?
I guess because that's his safe place.
How does he get in? At
night? Okay, so he pulls up to the school in his truck. And I was like, okay, I guess your truck's working now. Because yesterday it wasn't.
Yeah.
You had to walk home from Gabriella's house.
And it's storming.
Yeah, it is now raining and lightninging.
Thundering.
Which it wasn't when... Well, it's also lightninging, but yes. Thundering is an easier word to say.
Yeah.
It wasn't raining when he was in his backyard. So like in the 15, 20, 30 minutes, I don't know how long it takes for him to get to school.
We don't know.
It has started raining. Or maybe it's raining where the school is, but not where his house is.
One of those weird desert storms.
But you're totally right. It's like a school is not open at night.
No.
You cannot get in. You should not go in at night when there is nobody there.
It is not safe.
That is trespassing. But I guess he's the captain of the basketball team. He has like the back door propped open so that he can
steal his dad's sneak in keys. And,
maybe.
So he could, because he's going in, like when he pulls up, he's near the gym. You can kind of see a flag hanging in like a big gym space.
Yeah, you can tell
window.
He's going in like the back door so that he can. I don't know if I did this when I was in high school, but like when I was on the football team, we had the weight room and it was always like, okay, we got to like prop open a door for the weight room. And so like if you showed up earlier than everybody else, you'd be like, I just want to get into the locker room so I can go to the bathroom and not sit out here in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I was also in band and there were definitely times when it was like, well, we have a football game or something. And the band teacher's not here. Like, I wish we could get in.
Yeah, field hockey, when we had our before school practices, it was like, y'all know you're not getting into the school. So make sure you're good because there is no hope.
But yeah, I can definitely see like the captain of the team like having a backdoor entrance. It definitely seems much more of a theater kid thing to like, hey, I know how to get into the back door of the theater.
Yeah, I feel like that more so than because like even... In 2008, they're locking most of the doors. Like, security is still pretty intense. Like, we're not at the level that we are now with schools, but, like, unless... I think the only way I can fathom him getting in is having the coach's keys. Like, having his dad's keys and letting himself in.
This is a great Movies by Minute conversation.
How did he get in this door?
But also, it does... I can imagine seeing this movie for the first time and being like... Why did they decide that Troy was going to sneak into the school in the middle of the night for this next scene? Who does that make sense to? At what point did anyone think that that made sense? I can see it as something that would take someone out of the movie.
I can't say the thought I have. I'm trying to figure out a way to say it in a way that's not spoilery.
I mean, we can just say like, hey, this scene is going somewhere.
I question if... In the way we've had potentially fictitious dreamlike sequences.
Oh, so you don't know if this is reality. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
Exactly.
Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
So that's all I'm going to say because I don't want to do anything else because I really am looking forward to these next couple minutes for you.
Awesome. I mean... The setup has been underwhelming. Not like it was a poorly acted scene between Bart Johnson and Zac Efron, I suppose.
No, I thought it was fine. Their interactions were fine. They didn't have a lot to play with, which I think is part of the issue.
They had a basketball to play with.
I walked into that one.
But yeah, it just of all the like potentially iconic and actually iconic like scenes between
Bart and
Mike Bolton and Troy Bolton, like... This didn't feel like I could see a Tumblr image of Troy saying, I'm not a little kid anymore, but also like, isn't that the most basic thing that he could have said in this conversation? Like,
yeah, no, it is.
Is this really what we're doing? Cliche High School Musical 3. Like, it's just sad to see how far we've come in the wrong direction.
We've come so far and we've got so far to go.
Whoa, that's Hairspray.
That is Hairspray, which...
And you know the only thing better than Hairspray?
Corny Collins.
The DCOM of the Week segment.
Which weirdly has a tie into Hairspray.
Whoa. So... Condra, you're doing the DCOM of the Week segment this week, so I gotta say, cue the music. And then we can get into things. What do you got for me?
All right. So I've been thinking lately. Always a dangerous thing.
I've been lately thinking about my lifetime.
And I was thinking about Disney Channel songs and music and the iconic ones. And I know you don't know enough of them to do like a rank your top five or thing.
So, top five Disney Channel songs.
Instead, I found a music award. I found the Radio Disney Music Awards, as it were.
They play the tunes that I want to hear. Radio Disney, we're all here?
Yeah.
They rhymed here with here. Okay. Radio Disney.
So, yeah, we used to listen to the station back when it was on the air. I had a ton of the CDs.
I remember we had two of the CDs specifically.
I probably had five or six at one point, like, which is more than most people would have.
I'm getting up. I'm on the go. I'm turning on my radio. What? The first part of the line I don't have, but they say, I'm turning on my radio. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I found the 2007 Radio Disney Music Awards. They did not have Radio Disney Music Awards in 2008. So,
oh, darn.
So I had to go with 2007. And I just want to explore some of the winners and some of the nominees. So what I'm going to do to make... I guess there's a couple ways we can do this. I can name a category and the nominees, and you can guess who won. Or I can share the screen with you and we can talk about a few of the categories. There is some High School Musical crossover here, so...
I guess name the categories and have me guess, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to guess more than one song per category, so...
No, so there's like... It's kind of like the Grammys where there's like best artist and stuff, so... All right, so for best female artist... And I'll probably not do all of them. I might do some of the ones that definitely feature High School Musical, but like we'll do some of the big ones too. So best female.
We got Miley. And Vanessa.
Nope. Hillary Duff
still in 2007.
Still in 2007, yeah. Avril Lavigne and Kelly Clarkson are our four nominees.
Okay, so they're not. Okay, it's Radio Disney, not Disney Channel.
Exactly. So I had to take a little step out of just Disney Channel for this.
Okay, but no, I guess that makes sense because they were still like they were still probably pushing the Hillary Duff songs, but she wasn't in a show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then there's four
yeah.
category people. Okay.
Yeah. Who do you think won?
Whom do I think won? I think Miley.
No, Hillary.
Hillary, wow.
Yeah. All right, so best male artists, we have Jesse McCartney, Corbin Blue, Justin Timberlake, and Zac Efron.
Oh, wow. That is really funny. It's also interesting because by 2007, Justin Timberlake was not like a teeny bop, like kid singer anymore.
No, like, he was beyond, like he had Cry Me a River had already come out.
Yeah, that was like 2004 was when Justified came out. So,
yeah, so.
Like I get that you could probably play Rock Your Body on Radio Disney, but even like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So.
Jesse McCartney.
I guess I would predict that Justin Timberlake won, but are you about to say that Jesse McCartney won?
It was actually Jesse McCartney that won, yeah.
Okay. I don't know a Jesse McCartney song off the top of my head.
He did the, oh gosh, I'm going to get his big hit, Beautiful Soul. There we go. I want you and your beautiful soul.
You and your beautiful soul. He might have come to sing at my college.
I think he has a guest appearance in Lizzie McGuire or Hannah Montana. It's one of those like, oh my God, Jesse McCartney's there kind of thing, like as himself.
You can tell they had less of the male singers like in the Disney system because
Corbin.
Jesse McCartney's really the only like syndicated one.
Mm-hmm.
Corbin and Zach are like the ones from a Disney Channel property that they just had them record a couple additional songs for.
Yeah. Okay.
Justin Timberlake's totally out of the blue.
Yeah. Well, he was a Mickey Mouse Club, but like that was 15 years before.
15 years before.
All right. So, but speaking of that, I'm going to do best group and then I'll start jumping around a lot. So best group, we have Jonas Brothers, Allie and AJ, Everlife, and the Cheetah Girls. So those are three very Disney people.
And Everlife,
which is a...
I feel like we've talked about Everlife once
pop
before.
Rock
maybe
band
not on the podcast, but...
Yeah, no, I'm like, I think we have two, actually.
I'm going to guess Jonas Brothers.
Yes, absolutely.
Allie and AJ don't have the heat, and Cheetah Girls are more of a novelty act, unfortunately.
Yeah, they were earlier, too. The first Cheetah Girls, I want to say, came out in like 2003 or 4, so... All right. Best soundtrack song.
All right. So we have something from High School Musical 2 available.
We have, yep.
But I don't know which song or songs would be.
We have Gotta Go My Own Way and What Time Is It?
Okay. I forgot about What Time Is It. I guess I would have guessed that if I knew.
Yeah. And then also Push It to the Limit.
I was going to say the Corbin song is probably somewhere in there.
Yeah. And very weirdly, Without Love from Hairspray.
Without Love.
Which is a bop of a song. But like, excuse
me. Life is like my mother on a diet.
And they credited
like
it to Amanda Bynes. And I'm wondering if that's why, because it's not an but the other ones, like High School Musical 2 cast is nominated, like they're the best soundtrack. So I'm just like, why?
Maybe just whoever compiled that list didn't have it in them to write down all the names.
Yeah. But
like a door marked, do not enter.
I want to watch Hairspray now. All right, so Gotta Go My Own Way, Push It to the Limit, What Time Is It, or Without Love?
I'm going What Time Is It.
Gotta Go My Own Way.
Oh, I should have never bet against Vanessa. That should be my...
All right, best team anthem.
Team?
Team, like ensemble.
Okay, yeah. What is the difference? What? What does that mean?
I don't know. Fabulous, Ashley Tisdale and Lucas Graveel.
Now I'm very confused.
Makes Me Happy by Drake Bell. SOS by Jonas Brothers. Or You Are the Music in Me by Vanessa Hudgens, Zac Efron, and Alyssa Rulin.
I think it's You Are the Music in Me. But it's funny that they nominated a Nickelodeon person in the mix.
Well, Amanda Bynes is also Nickelodeon, but they're doing it via Hairspray. So it's actually Fabulous.
Okay. Wait, what was the third song? Was that Hairspray again?
SOS by Jonas Brothers.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you jumped back a category. Okay. I don't know SOS by Jonas Brothers. So Fabulous one. But what does that mean that it's a team anthem? It just means that more than one person sings on it?
I think, no, because Makes Me Happy is just Drake Bell. I think it's like the best song for a group. Because some of their other categories are best song to sing to an ex, best song to wake up to, best song to dance. So, like, I think it's just, like, best song for a group, in which case, Fabulous, which is hilarious.
Even Fabulous trash.
And let's end with most talked about artist. That'll be our last one. It seems weird. Most talked about artist. You want to throw any guesses in here?
Well, we got Picasso, we got Van Gogh, we got Da Vinci.
Of course.
And I guess one of the Ninja Turtles.
Raphael.
Michelangelo.
Or how about Amanda Bynes? Or Ashley Tisdale? Or Avril Lavigne? Or Gwen Stefani?
That is so confusing, because what's the difference between that and like female artist? Like, I guess you do have this thing of like quality versus popularity, but
yeah.
It's a radio award show. Like, the popularity is the quality that you're measuring. Like,
yeah. Any guess?
Oh, who won? Yeah. I'm going to guess Avril Lavigne.
Amanda Bynes.
Wow.
Amanda Bynes won 2 different categories and is nominated for 3. No, she won 3 and was nominated 4 times, which is she won most stylish singer, most talked about. She won most stylish singer against Ashley Tisdale, Miley Cyrus, and Vanessa Hudgens. I'm like, I maybe have a qualm with that. I love Amanda Bynes. Amanda Bynes was my jam as a kid. But like, this is real weird. She also won best artist turned singer.
What does that mean?
Well, it's Amanda.
Someone who wasn't
Ashley
originally
Tisdale,
a singer.
Drake Bell and Miranda Cosgrove. So yeah, I think it's folks that aren't originally singers, but through the grind got forced into singing.
Drake Bell always kind of was a singer first, though.
Yeah. And Miranda Cosgrove, yeah.
That's so weird. She was not quite at the, like, hey, let's just do the singing career on the side part of her career yet in 2007.
Well, no, that's
that
the start of iCarly.
Until later for her. I know, but she had, like, the one song. That, yeah. Because she sang the theme song.
That's fair.
But she did, like, have a touring act after iCarly was done, basically.
Yeah. Ashley Tisdale did win Best New Artist.
The confusing thing about the Amanda Bynes thing is, like, sure, yes, she had maybe a successful singing career for Radio Disney standards, but by all, like, reasonable measures, there is literally no record of Amanda Bynes having a singing career.
Other than Hairspray.
And then, like, maybe, like, one of, like, a song that played over the credits of Sidney White or something. Like, I don't know.
No, she didn't. That's the thing. She didn't sing in any of, like, Sidney White or She's the Man, any of those. She did fakes, like, joke singing in The Amanda Show. But, like, even on all that, she was never part of the musical acts of, like, that was not her gig. So, like, it was a really, like, kind of, people were, like, surprised. They were like, she's cast perfectly for Penny as an actor, but the singing doesn't seem to quite fit in the same way, like, Emma Watson as Belle. Like, yes, that worked super well, but she was not trained for singing. So, yeah, it's just, like, for Amanda Bynes to win 3 singing things. I guess most talked about artist could be just general, but, like,
It makes sense in the sense that Amanda Bynes was extremely popular because she had 8 years of buildup.
Even more than that, because she started all that in the 90s.
Yeah, like, I said 8 years and it's couching it as starting around 99. I don't know exactly.
No, because she was 6 when she started all that. She was little.
Okay.
Because she did the That's Me kid. Do you remember
that? I figured she was like 8 or 9 maybe, but not 6.
I think she was maybe 7, but like she was little.
Okay.
So, yeah, she had a ton of lead-up time, but it's funny when you put Amanda Bynes against Gwen Stefani as most talked-about artist. And this was the last Radio Disney Music Awards that was aired only over the radio.
That seems insufferable to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Funny because Gwen Stefani and Amanda Bynes are probably still tabloid fodder.
Oh, absolutely.
But Ashley Tisdale and Vanessa Hudgens, not quite.
Yeah.
Avril Lavigne, middle ground.
Yeah.
She could be tabloid fodder sometimes.
There, when I got to see Daniel Howell live on stage, he has a really good, like, joke about misinformation and, like, the manipulation of the press. And it's about how there was a rumor that Avril Lavigne had died and a woman had taken over in her place. Kind of like the Paul is dead theory, but Avril Lavigne.
I mean, I don't know why you had to couch it in the YouTuber
backstory.
I think most people know the Avril Lavigne.
I didn't until this thing. Okay,
that was your context for it.
Yes.
I was going to say, like, oh, are we going to talk about the Avril Lavigne is actually a replacement thing?
No, but it just is funny. But Girlfriend did win Best Song to Dance. So
I don't. Is that
the Avril Lavigne song?
Okay, I don't.
Hey, hey, you, I don't like your girlfriend.
Hey, hey, you. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just thought this was wild, and
it was, I don't know if you planned it, it was a timely segment considering that we are 4 days off of the Oscars when this releases.
Oh yeah. Yeah, sure. I planned that.
was there any sort of similar award for that for like Disney Channel where they like said like, hey, this is our actor of the year, this is our like commercial of the year?
No, Radio Disney Music Awards was kind of the, because of the Nickelodeon choice, like the Kids Choice Awards or the MTV Awards, like this was Disney's response to that.
Okay, I guess, yeah, Nickelodeon has the Kids Choice Awards, and if Disney tried to do like a Disney Channel Awards where it was only within themselves and Nickelodeon was including the Disney people in the Kids Choice Awards,
yeah,
then that would be kind of obnoxious.
Yeah.
Not below Disney standards, though.
No, not at all. But so, yeah, it was definitely caused because of the Kids' Choice Awards. So, which is,
and
still
Disney always
running,
had the music thing going a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really cute. The little awards that they won were Golden Mickeys with headphones on. They're like really cute, actually.
Wait, did you say that the Radio Disney Music Awards still exist, but they just don't broadcast them?
Nope. It was eliminated from the Disney branding in 2021, but the last awards were 2019.
So Radio Disney is defunct.
It is defunct, yes.
Is there a Defunct Land episode about Radio Disney yet?
Let's put a call out to him. I would love that. I would love that so much. Defunct Land, you have an open invitation anytime you want to come on the show.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Defunct Land is a YouTube channel.
My favorite YouTube channel.
About mostly Disney, but also theme park ephemera history in all of the country and the world, kind of. But mostly Disney stuff.
He has covered and international things, though. So.
And Condra loves this YouTube channel very much. I like it, but I don't actively watch it. And it's good.
Our dad likes it.
It's good, like, literally, and one of the videos is about this. It is good to consume, like, as a documentary form.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, highly recommend that. One of those famous YouTubers who could put out a 3-hour video and everyone would just chomp at the bit to watch it. Like,
he's also released 2 full-length albums. The music that he made for his videos.
All right, but Condra, the question that I had was, over under, if there was a Radio Disney episode,
yes,
how long would it be? So I guess the over under would be 90 minutes.
Under, because of how many years that the, like, he just did the American Idol experience and went over the history.
Not the awards, though, just all of Radio Disney as a concept.
Oh, Radio Disney as a concept? I still think under 90 minutes.
Okay. I guess there's no visuals to show there.
There's a handful. There were like album covers and there's music videos and there is stuff to show. But yeah, it's definitely a trickier one to show.
I guess he doesn't do a lot of videos that are like over the 90 minute mark.
Maybe not the best. Yeah.
Maybe 60 minutes would have been the best.
Yeah.
A better over under, but whatever.
Yeah. Defunct Land. Well, open for you to use if you want this idea. Please do
Defunct Land Minute, where we talk about 1 minute of a documentary at a time.
Don't tempt me, Tyler.
We could do the Fast Pass episode.
Heck yeah.
Fast Pass Minute.
All right. Well, this has been Minute 74 of High School Musical 3 Senior Year and a discussion of the 2007 Radio Disney Music Awards. Until next time, you can find us on Instagram at Amateur Nerds.
On Tumblr at Wildcat Minute.
You can send us an email to amateurnerdspresent@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know who you think the most talked about male artist of 2007 was.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Because it just said artist, but it was all women, so.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I noticed that when you originally said it, but then I forgot in the intervening conversation.
That's okay. Special thanks to our artist, Theo Golden, at TGoldenArt on Instagram.
And our musician, Joe Winslow, whom you can find at joewinslowmusic.com.
I have been Condra.
And I've been Tyler. We'll see you next time to find out what Troy is about to do in this school. You can bet on it.